The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. This is Wildcat Insider with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and KMAN Sports Director, Mitch Fortner.
Yes, of course, I've seen the rumors. I've seen them out there. Try to look more into it. The rumors out there right now are about K-State football. And that maybe K-State and Iowa State are going to play in 2025 in Ireland. Well, here's the deal. I know nothing about it. I no idea if that's a real thing happening or not. It'd be awesome if it was, because here's the deal. 2025 would actually be a home game for K-State. I know hearing that, immediately five businesses shut down, but at the same time, a game in Ireland would be pretty sweet. And since it would be a home game, I kind of look at it as like, you know, when I became the PA guy, my first official game as the official PA guy for football was Jerry World against Stanford. And it was a K-State home game technically, so a bunch of K-State people came down, ran as if it was a home game at the Bill. So let's get the PA guy in Ireland.
How's your accent?
No accent.
Oh, okay.
No accent. American as it gets.
Right.
With the football stuff. The only difference is there will be beer sold in the stadium, and it might be sold out by the third quarter.
Yeah, but quite possibly.
Wasn't that
Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin. That's right. Notre Dame, right?
Yes.
Was it Wisconsin, Notre Dame? And
yes.
They're out of booze by the third quarter or something like that. Or there was one concession stand that still had a lot of beer, and it was on one of the team sides, and the line was 300 people deep to get a Guinness and watch some college football in week zero in a soccer stadium.
Brutal. How do you not it's Ireland. You'd think they'd have prepared.
Because if it were to happen, it would be a week zero deal. So it'd be
sure
in August. And so, and it might be the first game of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Of all of college football.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that'd be pretty sweet.
Get those eyeballs on it.
It's just, I don't know how true it is, if it's true at all or anything like that. So maybe we'll find out later on down the road. Obviously, we would find out later down the road if it's a real deal or not. Welcome to Wildcat Insider. Mitch Fortner, Trey Coverdale here today in place of Wyatt Thompson. AJ Shaw here as well.
Pinch hitting for the pinch hitter.
Yeah, so Wyatt Thompson was actually in New York. He was in Flushing this past weekend because the Kansas City Royals played at Citi Field against the Mets, and the Royals radio network needed a fill-in, and that happened to be Wyatt Thompson. And got to hear a little bit of it this weekend, and why did it? An excellent job. He's a big baseball guy anyway. I knew he would do a phenomenal job at it, but what also, that's also an incredible opportunity. Even though it's not going to be a permanent thing or anything, unless Wyatt's going to make a, you know, all of a sudden a big change to his career, this will not be a permanent thing. It might be just a once in a lifetime opportunity for Wyatt Thompson. And nobody deserves it more than Wyatt Thompson, who's been, gosh, the voice of the Cats now for 23 years or something like that. And as being a big baseball guy, as being a big Major League Baseball guy, he used to do a lot of K-State baseball as well back in the day. But he really hasn't. He pulled back on that like 5, 6, 7 years ago and wasn't doing as much, kind of lightening the load, kind of taking some stuff off the plate. And I remember he called on the K-State Sports Network, called the Big 12 Championship game back in 20. The game that decided the Big 12 championship for K-State, winning it against Oklahoma on a wild pitch back in 2013. He was on the call for that one. Not doing as much baseball anymore, but what a cool opportunity. So we will have one more Wildcat Insider. That'll be next week, and we will have Wyatt on the show. This should be his only booking, Wildcat Insider, next week, so we'll hear about that experience. He was going to try to come do the show today. His flight actually got delayed.
Of course.
Out of NYC. So I just told him, Wyatt, don't worry about it. Come back next week. We'll put a bow on Wildcat Insider next week.
I jokingly asked him to bring me a gift back from New York with him. I asked him to get me one of the Gooden bobbleheads. that they were giving away on Saturday.
Oh.
I doubt that that is occurring.
Well, last time I was at Citi Field was 5 years ago, and that was when WrestleMania was in the NYC area. But they also were doing a bobblehead giveaway. I can't remember who the player is. I have it in my office. But the player is holding a WWE title and has like he's like standing in a ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. And it was a nice win. It was a combined 11 home runs in that game between the two teams. So it was a really good show against the Washington Nationals, who went on to win the World Series that year.
I have the weirdest of weird bobbleheads. A DJ LeMahieu Colorado Rockies / Ghostbusters bobblehead.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
AJ, who was your guy growing up? Or did you have a favorite bobblehead, or did you just have a favorite baseball player growing up?
My favorite baseball player growing up originally was Alfonso Soriano. You guys, I mean, I know Troy knows who that is. I don't know if you
sure.
know who that is.
Sure, absolutely.
You do? Okay, yeah. Then I like Starlin Castro, and then it was Wilson Contreras.
Troy, any reaction?
Interesting run of favorites.
Definitely.
Different.
But you didn't have a top guy, like one that was above them all.
No, I did not. I did not have like a hashtag my guy Deuce Vaughn type of guy.
That's too bad, because what a home run that was. Speaking of home runs, I feel like this might be the next. If there was a first ever AJ Shaw hashtag, let's see, my guy's taken, my boy's taken, my dude, hashtag my dude.
I'm fine with that.
It might be CJ Jones. And now we got a couple of, we got a CJ Jones, we got an RJ Jones. That could be a little confusing. They also kind of look similar. But Jerome Tang and K-State men's basketball, they have their second commitment of this transfer portal class. Joining Doug McDaniel out of Michigan is Illinois-Chicago wing in C.J. Jones. He's 6'5 out of East St. Louis, Missouri, and this kind of feels like, in a way, a match made in heaven. He's not only a very talented kid who we talked a lot about last week, but already has a relationship with a couple of players. He played high school basketball with Buddy Rich. They were on the same team at Nice St. Louis. Used to play against Day-Day Ames here and there. Mm-hmm. And now he has become a Wildcat. And I was talking about last week that go through all the recruits, the guys that are to visit or have already visited, they have a lot of similarities, even though they're not the same positions and might not be the same heights, because adding C.J. Jones to the mix is definitely going to add size to your wings. That was necessary. If you're going to go another wing, play the two or maybe play the three. You want some more size to replace the Cam, as you're replacing Cam Carter, and he's 6'5". So that's some pretty necessary and solid height that you're going to add to the lineup for K-State. In this past season, 11.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 5 assists per game. And the number that stood out to most people was that this past season he shot 38% from three-point range, on 2.5 attempts per game. So I didn't make the most threes in the season, no doubt about that. I mean, if he had made at least 100, I think the NCAA goes 100 makes. I think that's the minimum for who they rank in their top 50 right. or top 75, something like that. I think it goes up to 100 maybe now. But if he did have at least that many, that he would have been a top 50 three-point shooter this past season of college basketball. He played his best basketball in the second half of the year. The last 17 games is when C.J. Jones really shined, second half of the year, where he averaged 14 points. He was hitting 40% of his three-pointers, his best game, because I love his passing as well. I like his ability to find the open guy on the floor. A lot of those passes have been going to the baseline to open big men. Not so much kickouts at UIC. But he had a 16.14 assist game against Drake, and Drake was an NCAA tournament team. And that was a overtime game. I think it went 3 overtimes, and the final score was like 107 to 104. But C.J. Jones comes from a pretty bad team. Troy, I'm sure you know,
yo,
covering that level of basketball for a long time, that Illinois, UIC, the Flames, Illinois, Chicago is, I mean, almost across the board sport-wise, is a pretty rough athletic department.
They're better off than what Chicago State is.
Yeah, Chicago State's pretty bad, too.
Yeah, Chicago State's at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chicago State's at the bottom of the barrel. But UIC, and I found it interesting that essentially they became the replacement for the Missouri Valley when Loyola moved over to the Horizon League. And at the time, I just felt that that was a complete and total misfit. And thus far, it has shown to be even more of a challenge than probably they thought it would be getting in. Because, yeah, they have lacked a lot of support over the years. Between they and Chicago State, talk about being lost in a city with just no juice whatsoever about what they're doing. They had a brief run in basketball in 2018, actually made it into the CIT championship game. Made it to Greeley, by the way,
where they lost that
championship game. But they were also at that point being coached by, and I'm trying to remember, former Wyoming head coach, used to be down at Hutch, JUCO years ago. Steven, I cannot think of his last name. But that ended in relative short order, and they've not been able to get going since COVID.
K-State already in this early recruiting process for the transfer portal, they're getting the guys they want.
Mm-hmm.
They got Doug McDaniel, who only made one other visit. And, I mean, it, like you'll see on social media, you'll see these guys into the transfer portal, and then, like, On3 does a really good job of this. They'll start listing all the teams that have been in contact with that individual. And Doug McDaniel was like a lot of other players where he's getting reached out by all of these Power 6 programs. A ton of teams wanted Doug McDaniel. K-State wins out. Now, for C.J. Jones, it didn't feel like it was as many teams, but there was still quite a bit of interest. A lot from Illinois. Creighton, Xavier was in there. Not exactly sure if he ever took any other visits. But C.J. Jones was in town this past weekend, and he loved it enough and already had those relationships. And maybe it was a done deal before he even got on campus, but it was soon after that he decides, the day after his visit, yes, I'm becoming a Wildcat. I'm commitment number 2 for Jerome Tang and company. And if you listen to the shows last week and you listen to me talk about C.J. Jones, I'm a big fan of this kid. I like his size for his position. I love his one-on-one athleticism. Hadn't seen a lot of tape on his defense, but the numbers do look pretty good. Not too bad. He can score from all three levels. He loves his slash, but his three-point shooting is obviously there. The kid is a playmaker. I think this is a very strong get. Now, I love, you know, whenever, like, Keontae Johnson last year to, you know, obviously Doug McDaniel's a top 10 recruit in the portal currently, or was in the portal when he picked K-State. He was a top 10 player. Sometimes it's really fun, obviously, mention the rankings. With C.J. Jones, if you look at On3, his ranking is 295th. But let me just say this. I don't know enough about him to start going through any sort of weaknesses. I know the turnover numbers were a little bit high for him this past season, but he was clearly the Flames' best player. He handled the ball a lot. He made a lot of plays. Well, the more he handled the ball, you know, there is obviously more chances to turn over the basketball. So I'm not going to look too heavily into that. But I will also mention David Gasson, when he committed to K-State, he was 299th. And I think we all feel pretty pumped. At least I can speak for myself. Maybe, Troy, you agree. I don't know if you do. I don't know about AJ. But right now, the feeling I get from K-State fans that play close attention to this stuff, for right now, for far as we know, David Gasson is coming back. And I'm pretty pumped about that. I saw some really strong growth with his defensive play. His defensive play is really... seems like it's always been there. Offensively, even though his shooting numbers weren't as good and his free throw shooting is truly atrocious, he all around became a better player. He was more reliable, and man, did he have some really strong flashes. and some really strong games. And that's something you'd build off of. And with his experience, you'd love to have him back for a fifth year. That's somebody you did want to have back. And he's going to be back. And yet when K-State got him a year ago, the year of the Elite Eight run in Tang's first year, On3 had him at 299. So even though it's way down there on the list, when it comes to a ranking, doesn't mean that they're not uber talented. And I think C.J. Jones is uber talented. Like I said, this is a very strong get that already brings the K-State backcourt now with the addition of Doug McDaniel, Danny Ames returning, R.J. Jones, David Castillo, where K-State is just feels like they're just stacked at the point guard position. There is a ton of potential now with this backcourt. I want to get to that potential coming up at 5:10. There's some numbers I want to get to and where I feel like K-State can really play some strong basketball just by these two pickups K-State has picked up in the transfer portal. Let's get to some football when we come back. Well, on Saturday, this was actually supposed to take place yesterday, but on Saturday, Chris Klieman, Avery Johnson spoke to the media. It was the final press conference of spring football as it wrapped up on Saturday. It was a busy practice facility on Saturday. And luckily for us, we'll hear from Avery Johnson in the second hour, but coming up next, Chris Klieman, his final comments of spring football is next. Well, for the K-State basketball team, the men's side, priority probably will be a big now. Somebody to come in and play the five position. Umar Ballo is in town this weekend, guys. He is in town this week, and I believe he's already visited Indiana. I can't remember what's next. He had five visits scheduled. K-State was right in the middle. And, man, I'm telling you, if K-State were to somehow land him, my God, what a class. Woo!
Yeah.
I could get pumped up about that. Mykel Brown-Jones out of UNC Greensboro has committed to Ole Miss. He had K-State in his final three along with Ole Miss and Pitt. He decides to go play for Chris Beard. So he's now off the board for K-State. And, of course, the Cats have been on a lot of other recruits. But we'll leave it there for now. And coming up at 5:10, a lot of potential for that K-State backcourt now with the addition of C.J. Jones. Kind of like if they're both in the lineup, CJ and RJ Jones, it's like with the Glenn twins out there. All right, you're on your phone. You're not paying attention. All right, we'll move on. Let's talk Chris Klieman. Did you hear any of his audio from the press conference on Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that setup. I think we should have Klieman after practices, because typically his press conferences will go 25-30 minutes. This one was done in like 15, and I thought we got like our best answers out of Klieman that we've had in a long time. Like, just because he's moving, he's ready to go, he's moving and shaking, he's got football to do. He's ready to get this thing done.
Yeah, it's that difference between the structure of the weekly conference and doing something at the tail end of a practice.
Let's start with what to him as a team shined during spring ball. What that was team accountability.
We go four straight weeks after spring break, and our day, Monday through Friday, starts at 6 a.m. And we had zero people late. We were starting meetings early and beforehand, and it's those kids holding each other accountable on little things, whether it's meals to workouts to meeting times. Our guys were really locked in, and it's a credit to our older guys.
I remember, when I played high school football, I was late for one practice, and it was during the summer, so I think it was like two-a-days or something. I accidentally overslept for the afternoon practice.
Well, what?
We were just in helmets at the time. And, man, did my coach make an example out of me. I wasn't a senior or anything. I think I was a sophomore at the time. But, man, did I hate that. I was running 40-40s, and I was like, I'm never being late again. I've always wondered, like, what is a college football punishment at practice if you show up late? Is it individually that person has to do a lot of extra conditioning? Does it become a team issue where, all right, you screw up, now everybody pays, that type of thing? I'm sure it's obviously different per program, but I've always wondered, what is the Klieman punishment.
It's got to be better than the Ron Prince punishment.
I don't know. I'm not even sure I know what
that is. Oh, when he made staffers run stairs?
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah, I do. I do know that, yes.
Yeah. Staffers. Seriously? Your coaches?
Listen, Coach Tui and Coach B.A., I don't think they're going to be running any stairs.
No.
Let's get more climate audio in here. How much has the offense changed with, new OC Connor Riley, new co-OC and quarterbacks coach Matt Wells?
A lot. But we're not going to go much further than that. We're doing a lot of similar things, but a lot of different things as far as some run scheme stuff. But then in the pass game, we're doing some things to get the ball on the perimeter a little bit more and taking some shots downfield. Once again, we were down some numbers at wide receiver, but just my dialogue with Riles and Wellesley, there's some things that are going to be different that people have not seen here.
To me, it made sense that you could really start to mix things up with the different minds now you have in control of coming up with the game plan. Everybody's involved in the game plan, but the play calling and the minds of you bringing a Matt Wells to mix now with a Connor Riley who's been coaching offensive line for a long time. Matt Wells knows a good passing game, and you have Avery Johnson to use. You have DJ Giddens. You have, although it's going to look a lot different, an experienced offensive line. Get to the wide receivers here in a bit, and wide receivers, I'm just still up in the air about how I feel about that group right now. May not exactly have a good feel of it until the fall rolls around.
Right.
But there are plenty of options. I didn't even mention the tight ends. And you have a couple of young but very athletic tight ends that you could put on the field at the same time. Mention Avery. Him evolving is going pretty well.
He and Coach Wells are a really good match. They have really good connection and do a really good job of communicating. And I sit on a decent amount of the QB meetings and just seeing his growth and seeing him take the things that we talk about in the meeting room to the grass with practice and then into team settings. It's been fun to see him evolve.
And let's get to the wide receivers. Matthew Middleton, I remember him mentioning that obviously it depends on practice. It depends on how well guys evolve. But, the mix of wide receivers you may see on the field week after week could very well change. Here's the guys that were mentioned by Kleiman in the mix.
A healthy Keegan Johnson. I think Keegan's one of the best wide receivers in the Big 12, and we got to keep him healthy. Bringing in Dante Cephas was a really good get for us, and he fits in really well. Jaden Jackson's playing well. Jace was limited a little bit this spring with an injury. Sterling Lockett, I thought, made some great strides. And playing a lot faster. Spivey's playing a lot faster. Andre Davis is playing a lot faster.
There's obviously a lot of names mentioned there. Hearing Trey Spivey is not a surprise. Jaden Jackson, Jace Brown's been getting healthy this spring, but he'll be just fine. Sterling Lockett, I do wonder, is this now the time where this next Lockett does get on the field and play a little bit? And Wyatt has mentioned multiple times that, Sterling might be maybe more involved in special teams as a potential returner. That, to me, is very interesting. I think people forget, Keegan Johnson was injured for a lot of last year. He was really banged up, never really got going. We started finally seeing some flashes halfway through the season, had a touchdown catch against Texas. I remember that very vividly because it was much needed at the time, and he made a play.
That's a case where he unfortunately has had that injury history.
The last two years has followed him
now. And so you hope that that's a guy who can be able to put together a year this year where that's not an issue.
And Dante Cephas about getting to him to that Kent State 1,300 yards a couple of years ago when he was playing under Matthew Middleton there at Kent State. But yeah, you're right. I think Keegan is a pretty big factor on how successful this wide receiver group is if he can stay healthy. And we maybe hopefully will see him on the field at 100%.
Something that stood out to me, not from this conversation, but from Matt Wells' comments about Avery Johnson and the ability to utilize different touch depending on the situation, being able to layer up or layer down. I'm intrigued to see how that plays with a wide receiver core that offers some different looks.
Let's jump over to the defensive side of the football. This probably won't shock a whole lot of people, but the defense has depth.
Defensive ends, for sure. Not, you know, Uso was doing individual, but he didn't do team stuff. Really deep on the defensive line in general. And so, yeah, we'll find some ways to get four guys on the field quite a bit. The safety position's got a lot of depth right now. You know, Siegel, everybody knows about. VJ was held out because of an offseason deal. Colby McAllister was held out because of an offseason deal. But guys like Jack Fabris, that is a year into the program. Wesley Fair, Mikey Bergeron, Jordan Riley, a transfer. Those guys have really stepped up.
You know, and throwing another name, Cam Salas, who is a redshirt freshman who's now moved down to linebacker. I would imagine you're going to see him in the rotation this year. It seems like every time we bring up the defense, it's about how deep this defense can really be. There is a lot of young talent, really a lot of talent that have different stories across the board, but you know, the opportunity to go four down is thanks to K-State having a lot of guys at defensive end that can play at a high level at different ages. So you're going to see potentially a third defensive end get onto the field in a big down and get after a quarterback.
And flexible in the aspect of being able to utilize some additional up front, where they've talked about utilizing that 4-3 a little bit more, or some different looks anyway, than just the 3-3 stack.
Let's see. Let's squeeze in one more clip here. The transfer portal will open today. It's been a bit of a topic these last 7 days about, with the portal opening today, was there worry of guys that you expected to be key pieces jumping in the portal or not? Klieman kind of tackled that in a way where he's not worried about guys entering the portal, and that has part of it has to do with NIL.
And that was our main focus with NIL for myself and Clint Brown, our director of roster management, was to take care of the guys on the football team so they didn't leave. And that's something that I'm really excited about, because Curry Sexton and the collective have done a really good job of helping us. Now, for those guys to be reached out by the collective would be really good over the next couple weeks to keep them here. We got to make sure that those guys know that the value they have is really good here, and that we're going to do everything we can to make sure we do keep those guys.
So as far as I know, right now the only player that has jumped into the portal today is Max Marsh, who was like an emergency quarterback situation for the bowl game, and I think he was throwing the football around at practice this spring. But it was a former defensive back as well. So it sounds like he's in the portal. Other than that, so far so good. When it comes to KCA getting after the portal, it is a very interesting question. I'm sure they are. They're looking very into the portal. I know they could use another defensive lineman. They could use another offensive lineman. I think linebacker, they've been looking at a guy or two, so wouldn't be surprised to see those names keep popping up on guys they may be interested in, but that's also just getting started as the portal opening today, and will be open for a couple of weeks. Let's take a timeout. More of Wildcat Insider when we come back. Going to hear from K-State wide receiver coach Matthew Middleton here in just a moment. Had a little interview with the media not too long ago. We'll hear back some of that. Saturday was the Ohio State Scarlet and White game. I think that's what they call it, Scarlet and White game.
Okay.
Will Howard was the starting quarterback. They have five quarterbacks on scholarship. They all played. I couldn't find actually an official box score. I don't think they put that out for the folks, for the people.
Probably
like
not.
Us.
Yeah.
Will Howard is going to be the guy. There were rumors, you know, maybe his job would be challenged by a freshman. I'm like, God, at this point, Will Howard, every time he hears the word freshman, yeah, he wants to puke.
Yeah, freshman, four-star, five-star. Yeah.
No, Will Howard was definitely the best quarterback on the field. From what I saw, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did catch bits and pieces of it on Saturday. Will was pretty good, and I was really happy to see that. So Good chance Will Howard is going to be the guy for Ohio State this fall. So that's actually, I think that's going to be really fun to see how that all plays out. Because it's not every day a K-State player, in, you know, transfers to like at Ohio State is and has looked to be the guy, like a quarterback. That never, you know.
How prepared are you to have the Fox or ABC television ads be Will Howard and the Ohio State Buckeyes?
9 for 13, 77 yards for Will on Saturday.
He had a couple of really good passes. One of them was caught one-handed, and it wasn't his best pass of the day. It was a great one-headed catch. Where'd you find that? That box score.
It was on an article. Let me go back and look. Okay. I'll pull it up here and I'll tell you in a second.
Not really a big deal. I was just curious to see if he had any rushing yards. When I was watching, I didn't see a run, but I was curious to know if he did run the football.
Buckeyes now, they don't say anything about running.
Okay.
So in other words, just kind of what they tracked.
Yeah, good for Will. Will's all happy. He's signing autographs at the horseshoe. Good for Will. All right, let's hear from K-State wide receiver coach Matthew Middleton. He had an interview with the media not too long ago, talking a lot of wide receivers, obviously, as they continue to grow through spring practice. Here's coach with the media.
A guy like Trey Swipey just get enough exposure last year to kind of whet his appetite and get him really eager for year two.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's growing, and that's to that question. Some of those younger guys that are doing it, like, they are working, and he has been putting in extra work. And again, going from that redshirt year, and he got in a little later to learning it, and now being in the spring, being a little more comfortable of getting lined up, and then now it's some technique things and then coverage recognition things to help him play even faster and play at the potential that he could become. So
back to Dante, just what is it that he brings to this group, do you think, that maybe you didn't have or that where you can really improve?
I wouldn't say that it's nothing that he's this room's already really competitive. We do have a talented room, so I would say it's bringing more talent to the room, even though it is a talented room, and it's bringing some more experience to the room as well. And I think competition helps everybody out when it comes to, hey, seeing someone release really well or being able to catch a ball well or to run a route well, and the other guy seeing someone else do that, it's like, all right, my turn. When it's my opportunity, I'm going to show what I can do as well. I don't think it's necessarily he's bringing more than someone else. I think he's bringing the competitiveness which the room has already has.
What was that first day like with Dante when you reunite here at Kansas City?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was good just seeing him and him wanting to be here. You know, him wanting to come to Kansas State, not solely because of me, but because of what Kansas State has to offer. I think he and his dad, Darren, spent some time with Coach Kleiman, spent time with Coach True, so they got a good feel collectively of what our program has to offer. And so when he wanted to be here, that to me was everything. It's like he wants to be here. It's not me begging, hey, please come here. He wanted to be a part of what this program offers, which was special.
What did you learn about Dante at Kent State when he had that big year that you can take that, you know he can do that really well, and you know right away that can be applied to K-State?
Yeah, he's his toughness. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't know. I mean, he was playing with a jammed up thumb, a really bad thumb, and he still went out there and practiced and competed, and that's tough to do when you're a receiver and your digits aren't working well. And so he would still find a way to catch the ball or make a play to help his teammates out selflessly to do those things. And so that's what we ask for our players here, that selfless decisions of, hey, what do I need to do for the team? How can I help the team out? And he's done that. So, I mean, his growth, and again, he continues to mature, which is awesome to see.
Probably for the legacy of it, but do you get asked about Sterling Lockett all the time, every day?
I don't get asked about it, but I'm sure people are wondering. And Sterling's been taking strides and doing a really good job. He's flashed quite a few times this spring, which is good. You know, I mean, he's kind of out of the shadow of Phil now. So I think for him growing in more reps and production and understanding the system has really helped him out. And he's done a phenomenal job this spring.
What do you think Jace was able to make the impact he did as a freshman?
I think Jace just made a choice to stick with it. Like, it's not always easy, you know, coming in as a freshman. I think Jace made the choice to always practice hard, to get extra work, to study with the quarterbacks. And then whenever his opportunity came, he remained ready for it because he practiced that way. Like, his practice habits were so healthy, the game then was the same way. And yeah, he made some freshman mistakes from time to time, but they were full-speed efforts, and he worked his butt off for those opportunities and moments. He was confident in himself through his preparation.
Once again, that's K-State's second-year head coach, or second-year wide receivers coach, Matthew Middleton, here on Wildcat Insider, talking wide receivers, of course. Another mention of Sterling Lockett making some strides. But again, like, just the way I feel with the wide receivers, like, I think they're definitely going to make it work. Like, there's definitely some talent, just don't know how good it's going to be. I don't have a firm grasp yet on how good, what my gut really tells me about how good this group of wide receivers, not including running backs in the passing game, not including the tight ends, just the wide receivers,
is
how
that,
good it can be.
Is that the one area that you feel maybe the most unsettled about, or that you don't have a good feel?
I just don't have a good feel. I'm definitely optimistic. I really am. It's not like it was that bad last year.
Sure.
It's just that, you know, does Keegan stay healthy? How good is Dante Cephas? Is he Penn State or is he Kent State? Like,
right.
I know there was more competition for getting snaps and getting targets at Penn State. But just like, you know, on a talent level, how good is he going to be and how deep? I think that's the big question. How deep will that wide receiver room be? Can they get a good six-man rotation in? Or, you know, like last year, you know, it was really just three guys.
We are in an interesting place, really, with this entire team, and that is that youth will be served. And yet there's a lot of confidence about the experience that these players do have coming in. It's just that they are youthful in comparison to what we have seen, predominantly because of the COVID years factored in.
We got to take a timeout. We'll finish Hour 1 of Wildcat Insider with sending some flowers out to some national champions. That's next. Dance. All right. Wrapping up Hour 1 of Wildcat Insider. I want to give a shout to some national champions because for the third consecutive year, Coach Sarah Heptig and company, the Classy Cats, are once again national champions down in Orlando, Florida at the College Classic. As for the third consecutive year, the Cats won the D1A Palm National Championship. So it's the routine with pom-poms. And they beat out Arizona State by 0.58 points.
Ooh.
It was close. Baylor took third, Purdue in fourth place.
Very good.
So third straight year, a national championship banner coming back with the Classy Cats.
And again, I continue to be amazed at the growth of that group since when I was in school, and they were a part, and I mean a large part, of marching band at one point. And it's become more about the dancing routines as well as what they do with the band. So coupling much more of a visible aspect of that program, and it's paying off exceptionally well for them.
Well, this weekend you're at a wedding. Did you cut some rugs?
A few.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were you dancing to?
Well, let's see.
Slow dancing.
There was
Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, there was one slow dance specifically. A little polka was thrown in for good measure. We did have a grand march. I mean, come on, it's, you know, there is that German aspect of things. There was also, you know, the mother son dance. So took advantage of that opportunity. My dad just completely did not even realize when mom got up to come dance with me. That was humorous in and of itself.
Also for the Classy Cats, they finished in second in Spirit Showdown, third place in D1A Jazz, and they are voted fan favorite. That's going to wrap it up for Hour 1 of Wildcat Insider. Hour number 2, the potential of the K-State backcourt next season. We're going to hear from quarterback Avery Johnson and talk a little Batcats next.